Thanks for listening to Resume on Podcast One.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcast1.com.
Daredevil Events and Corolla Drinks present Rock at the Shop featuring Loxy.
Oh man, I hear you begging, please. Ain't my decision to be kind.
July 29th at South Bay Customs in El Segundo, California. Loxy. Plus, the smoking kills.
Just another Southern California.
Rock at the Shop, July 29th.
Now the pretty girls start to look the same.
Corolla Drinks presents Rock at the Shop with Loxy and the smoking kills. Hosted by comedian Matt Edgar. July 29th at South Bay Customs, 115 Penn Street, El Segundo, California. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.
Oh, man, it's Resume. Episode number... Oh, it's water cooler. Oh, guys, I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm running on fumes. I'm running on fumes here. It's been a long, long last few days. It's water cooler, episode number 83. Or 69 plus 14. Nick did the half like, and then when I said teen, he started nodding. Okay. Guys, I'm running a fuse. It's been a long week. I've just came back from D.C. late last night.
Got to hear about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a sec. But
Chris was a star on camera.
We'll talk about that too. Man, yeah, I got another photo bomb. But let me introduce everybody first. Once again, Water Cooler, the sideshow of Resume, where I hang out with my Corolla Digital buddies, and we talk about whatever we want, and no better way to end my week than hanging out with you guys. We got the usual crew here, minus two. Matt Fondelier and Gary Smith are not here, but I give you the bad news first. I can give you the great news now. Kalen Bean's in the house.
What's up, guys? Kalen's here.
Yeah. Kalen Bean, good referring news to himself in third person. Kalen's here.
Yes, love he it is.
And we'll be flicking some bean in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
real Nick Davis.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. And they'll be going. Season's coming.
Training camp, soon, baby.
It's preseason starts in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you heard his voice, too. You can't mistake that. Mike Dawson's in the house.
I'm here. I'm queer.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And we're going to be playing a song from his band. You guys have heard a clip of it in all the podcasts throughout the network. It's called Another Southern California. So we'll get a listen to.
Yeah, somebody tweeted me and asked if they could stream it somewhere, and I'm like, no, but we'll play it on this show.
Right, because it's a live recording. It's just
we tracked it here at Corolla One.
Yeah, so it's a live demo. It sounds incredible though, and looking forward to listening to that now. I haven't seen you guys in a little bit. I mean, I know it was a one-day trip, but it felt like forever. I haven't slept. I went to Washington, D.C. with Adam Carolla and Mike August because Adam was set to testify, or he testified in front of Congress, before Congress.
Testify!
Tell me what shoes did Mike August wear?
He just wore his sneakers. They were just white-soled, white-laced. Or more of like cream on both, cream sole, cream lace, okay. black leather sneakers. And but we did have to, we had to suit up. I had to wear a suit.
Nice.
Because, yeah, and it felt official walking around Capitol Hill.
Sure.
In the suit.
Some incredible photographs of one Adam Carolla in front of our nation's capital.
Those
taken
shots
by Chris
were
Lexamana.
Great.
Oh, thank you.
It was awesome.
So cool.
Thanks. Yeah, that was actually, those are hard shots to get because we were filming for Adam's upcoming movie, No Safe Spaces, And so he actually had two camera guys around him, and I had to kind of weave my way around
him.
So
that one
where
he
has a natural shot that you didn't set that up, and then
no,
that
was all like the one where he's kind of looking down. Yeah. I don't want to pull back the curtain too far, but he was getting a lav mic put on him. He wasn't in deep thought.
Yeah.
Right?
He's like, man, the opportunity I had before me today.
They really are great pictures, and I'll tell you, as soon as I looked at that, I was like, man, I am proud of that guy.
It was pretty epic.
Fuck.
And I don't the thing is what I was really upset about was I don't think he hyped it up enough or really explained just how big of a deal this was. Like Dr. Drew was into it, all of us Bald, Gina were all into it. And they kept asking him and he just kept going, I don't really know. And then afterwards, now that it's over, like, everyone's just, I'm so proud of you. You have no idea. I even told him that before he got on the plane to Detroit. I was like, dude, I'm so proud of you. Dude. Oh, thanks. And he's like, I don't think it really registers.
He's got race cars on his mind.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it really registers just how big of a deal it really was. And he has this thing, which I was talking about this with Jay earlier this week, was I think he prefers to be underprepared. I think he prefers to not think about it. Maybe it prevents anxiety. Maybe it prevents.
It looked like he did have some notes there written down. So
he
at least there
beats.
Was.
Did he bring a
there
bus
was
clip?
Some prep?
Yeah. No. He had a yellow legal pad.
Okay.
Keep it real.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although a listener did come up to him in the building after the hearing and gave him a pack of buck slips. Like, I got these for you,
nice.
Man.
Nice.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. A lot of listeners showed up. So thanks for coming out. It was incredible. And, yeah, so I think he purposely does that, though. And this isn't just for this, but anything. Like, he purposely doesn't like to think or prepare more than a night in advance. Like, he crams.
Somebody who
night.
Is so good on the tip of his toes.
Yeah.
Why prepare? Because his best stuff, and that's probably just goes through his, you know, improv background. It's if you prepare, you're doing a disservice to the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was an incredible experience. So we fly out of LA around noon, and this is what I hate the most about flying to the East Coast. I guess Nick would experience it too when he goes home, but it's the time difference is terrible because we fly out at noon. It's a 6-hour flight. I know, Kaelin's thinking, I go to
you're
London.
Not going to England.
Yeah, but you don't understand, like, this is the middle of a work week. Like, I have work to do, and I don't pay the $50 for in-flight Wi-Fi because that's just too expensive. And so, I'm just disconnected, which doesn't seem like a long time, but we landed after 9. We landed, like, at 9:15. So we leave at noon, and we land at 9:15 and then get to the hotel around 10-something or 10:30 once we get the bags and everyone gets in the car and drives over. So the whole day is just gone. It's just we traveled and the whole day is just lost. And so it's a 7 a.m. wheels up. So which is what 4 a.m. our time, but I wake up an hour early to get all the gear ready, get my suit on and everything like that. So no sleep for Chris Loxamana, because I still had to post the podcast. I still had to, you know, do all my usual work, like when I got to the hotel. So that hence me on fumes, as I've said multiple times today. if you forgot,
well, that's what a lot of people don't truly understand about this operation we have here. That it would crash and burn without Chris Loxamana.
Crash, agreed.
In less than a day, probably.
Oh yeah.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Shit would fall apart fast.
You hear that, person who pays my who pays me? So we get in the hotel. We just grab a quick bite at the bar, like at the hotel, right before it closes, and we go to bed. We wake up early and suits on. We're ready to go. We are ready to go. We drive up to Capitol Hill, and right when you walk outside, you're just like slapped in the face by this humidity that you can't even
explain.
East
Coast humidity is the worst.
You can't even. It was unreal. And
especially if you're tired, like it's like exhausting. Like,
it is exhausting. It takes a lot out of you.
It's hard to walk in heat. It feels heavy.
You're tired and you're wearing layers, and it's hot. You're instantly soaked. Like when you walk in, like it's like you're walking into a mister of hot a water and a steamer. And I guess somebody even explained to us when we were in D.C. that they purposely put the capital there, one, because nobody wanted that land. It was just because of the weather. The winters are the worst, and the summers are the worst. So if you're trying to run a business, a capital, if you're trying to run a country, you don't want people just coming in and hanging out, and you want them in, you want them out. It's a turnaround time. It's like the fluorescent lighting, of cities. Like they just come in here, get whatever you need to get done, and then leave, please, so we can continue on with what we need to do. So we're hit by that, but it's early morning, we head over to the Capitol Hill. Adam has his suit on. They're filming stuff for No Safe Spaces. Him like walking around the Capitol building, and then we walk over to where the Rayburn building, where he's going to testify. And we walk in, metal detector. There's a ton of people who are in line for this hearing. Like a lot of college kids, like a lot of younger kids. I think they're all Ben's fans too, because when Ben walked by, they just went nuts. So I'm gonna go with,
I saw like a, I saw a group fans. Of kids in one of the back rows, and they all had like matching blue t-shirts on, and it looked like there was about five of them.
Yeah, they sat right behind me. They had free speech shirts on, because
I was wondering which the way they were going, whether they were the free speech there for them or kind of the protester side of.
Yeah, the whole testimony was about free speech, specifically in college campuses. It's a different part. It was the second part of this hearing. Like, I think there are a few different parts of it. Prager did one the day before.
Is Ben Shapiro married?
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, he could be swimming in so much young conservative pussy. It's just this raging fans.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I can't deny that. After
and there yesterday. We go, folks. We're 8 minutes in.
I was boring myself. I didn't say anything.
Say what you can. It was being in that environment. It just felt weird. Like it, it just felt political. Like everything. I mean, obviously, because it's the hub of all politics, but.
Well, I've heard it said before that DC is like Hollywood for ugly people. Did you feel that?
No. I didn't think that. that's really funny.
I love that.
No, I actually was surprised. I thought everyone looked really good, just because everyone's dressed up. So everyone, it could be like the lights are dim, but everyone's wearing really nice clothes. So that upped everybody a few notches in the good looks department. So yeah, everyone was dressed up. Adam's in there. We meet up with Ben and talk to Jim Jordan, Rep Jim Jordan, who's going to be running who's the chairman, who's running everything. And Adam's still just sitting there, just talking, small talk with everybody. And he has his notepad, but with just beats. Everyone has pages of just like regular 8.5 by 11 sheets, just filled with text that they're going to read verbatim. And Adam has a yellow notepad with like five lines written on it.
Red turn arrows.
And so it was just really weird. But he explained I kind of just go off the beat.
And it was awesome having him come immediately after Ben Shapiro, who was just this machine gun of stats and numbers and these exact thoughts. And then Adam's like, I'm not gonna be that. But he's still crushed.
He opened it like I'm not gonna be as eloquent as Ben Shapiro over here. But I thought he did a great job. It was really cool just sitting there. I sat in the – I sat right behind the panel.
Yeah, we know.
Weirdly enough, yeah. Oh, yeah, because in the video I make – my at least my the lower half of my torso makes quite the appearance. No, I didn't – God, that sounded weird. I didn't
– You pulled out your nuts. You did.
That was me.
Free speech!
Brains!
Brains!
I sat behind one of the panelists, and every time they cut to her, I was in it. And people were just tweeting me like, "Hey, you're in it," tweeting me during the live stream. But it was cool because Adam did his thing. He talked about what he talks about on the show. We've heard him talk about for years.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was one of those things where when you show somebody like one of your favorite movies or your favorite. Action movies or comedy, like if your favorite comedy, and it's to somebody new, and you're just sitting there just watching them react, like, oh my god, wait for it, here
right,
comes,
right,
here
right.
comes, there's a punchline, gotcha. And it's just enjoyable for you to just watch everybody or the person react. That's what it felt like over there.
Yeah, we like when we watched the finale episode of Game of Thrones last year.
Kaylin is once again referring to my legendary viewing of the season finale of Game of Thrones, where I was on my phone the whole time, mm-hmm, and I did not give Kaylin that satisfaction.
Yeah, nope, not even once.
I'm sorry. I do owe you. I owe you. And I regret it because that's the best hour of TV that's ever been released. Right.
But I get that feeling, though. Like, you're, like, nervous for some reason that they're not going to, like, enjoy it the same way you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. And they totally did. It was a weird experience being there because it was very casual. I mean, you guys saw it on the camera, but I saw what happened off camera. And the format was a representative from Congress would say a few words, and then each panelist got 5 minutes to say whatever they want to say, and then each representative had 5 minutes to where they can ask the panelists questions and get responses. And so it looked like there were probably six or seven representatives at the top of the whole thing, the hearing, and they did everyone. Once all the panelists went down, just new Congress people just kept coming, just dropping in to say their 5 minutes, and then they leave.
And then they leave.
Yeah, it was really
bad open mic comics.
It felt like an open mic where there was actually a lot of hubbub that was off camera. Like when a congressperson would just be telling their story and like how free speech affects them. Like to the right, there'd be other Congress people just having conversations and telling jokes and laughing and like
that's really weird. That's breaking the rules of the open mic. You're supposed to be quiet and listen to the people on stage.
That didn't
they
happen.
Will do the same thing for you.
Mm-hmm. But
that's how you
improve. So they each had their own argument. They had their own things. But then when it wasn't, the camera wasn't on them or the focus wasn't on them, they're just walking around greeting everybody, like saying hi, catching up and everything.
Oh,
and it was really weird. You're right, because that happened to me at an open mic one time, and which I still think about. I performed at this open mic in Glendale like 2 years ago, and I think I did really well to where a guy came up to me, and he's just like, hey, he asked me questions about myself, and then and this is while it's late night. There's not a lot of people at this open mic, and I'm just sitting at the bar because it loops. So it's going to come back to me soon, but so I'm just watching the performance, and a guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, you're really good. Like, I used to work with like a lot of musicians, blah, blah, blah. But he's like kind of drunk. He's had a few in him. And so he's already, he's loose. He's like patting me on the back and stuff. And he's kind of talking loud. And while this girl is playing acoustic guitar, and it's like very intimate. And he's like, yeah, man, so tell me about yourself. Yo, are you Filipino? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'm Filipino.
Chris, I'm really sorry about that night, man.
This is my passive-aggressive way of saying, yeah, please shut that up. No, but I kind of had to calm down. Hey, like, after a while, I'm like, hey, maybe we can talk about this after the song. Or, just I'm kind of focused right now.
Right.
And he got mad at me. He's like, you don't know what you just did.
Oh,
and walked away.
Fuck off!
And
it was Jimmy Iovine.
Yeah, yeah, David Geffen
made it.
Pete Angelus.
And I just think about that all the time. Like, oh man, I just shushed that guy. But I mean, just trying to be polite to the artist who was basically pouring out her feelings, in trying to get used to playing in front of people. And I notice like when I'm on stage and there's a hubbub around, like I notice it, and it took me a long time to really just shut that out, but you still see it, like it you're always seeing it. That's why I'm always really nervous about like in stand-up if I have to get up or if any like I do anything in stand-up, like they're gonna see me no matter where I'm sitting, no matter what happens, they see me. And so and same thing with like any acoustic act. So so it's just like that, like an open mic, like now, with hubbub.
I've been working my tail off while you guys were there, so I haven't even had the chance to see this. So some of the questions I'm going to ask, obviously if I had seen it, I wouldn't have. But how much laughter did he get? How many people were really engaging with him? And did you see a look in their eyes that was like, holy shit, this guy's incredibly intelligent.
Yeah. Well, we like the whole time we were trying to figure out how Adam was going to attack it. Like we were talking about it like on the way up. Like Adam was trying to think about it. He said, "Oh, Dr. Drew told me to start off with a background, you know, background of myself, and I don't know if I should do that. And they were he was talking about, like, I watched other celebrities and other people do their testimonies, and, like, some people went for the laugh, some people went for, you know, was completely serious. So I think Adam was still just figuring out how he's going to attack this thing, and then he obviously started off with the humor when his first sentence in the testimony was like, hey, so can we keep these notepads? Like, is it – like, do we get to keep these? Can I sell – how much will we go for on eBay? Blah, blah, blah. And they got laughs. And you can't really tell on the video because it was just his mic that was picking it up.
Right.
But the room was laughing. But then when you hear the audio, it's like it doesn't really sound like it was picking it up.
Okay.
But yeah, so he opened it up with great jokes and really kind of eased the tension because, I mean –
just easing the tension, baby.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's all
just
it
easing
is.
Easing the tension.
And to be honest, like, and pretty much a lot of his stuff was jokes. He was roasting some of the congressmen. Like, one guy had weird hair, and he just brought that. He just, like, straight up just opened up. Like, he's like, so what do you think about heckling? He's like, oh, you mean, like, I should probably say something about your hair right now. And, you know, everyone was laughing. It actually was kind of weirdly uncomfortable, too. Just like, oh, man, he's really coming out swinging. Or there's a guy from Florida, and he's like, oh, the man with the tan. You don't have to tell me you're from Florida. I know where you hail. Like, you know, things like that. You know? So he's roasting these guys, and they're laughing. They're having fun with it, too. So, in fact, after the whole thing, Jim comes back to the back room and just was incredibly responsive. Like, hey, that was awesome. Jim Jordan. He's a representative of, I think, Ohio.
Was he the one running the thing?
He was running the thing. He's a chairman. Okay. And he was just like, that was perfect. Like, and you could really tell, like, and some of the guys are like, yeah, that usually these things are quite boring. And yeah, but that one wasn't. So it worked out quite well, I think. And
now, did you guys get to dine with any congressmen or anything like that?
We did have a press lunch. So they afterwards, the guys from No Safe Spaces put on a lunch, and there were some press people there, and we just ate. And I'm sure you'll hear about it because the waiter forgot to take Adam's order, and Adam had to, like, tap him. Like, he took everybody at the table's order but Adam's, who was, like, the man of the hour. And then Adam taps on him, and, like, he takes the order, and then of course, the order doesn't come out. No. Like, he forgets the order, Sam's like, of course. Like, he forgets to take my order, and then he forgets to put in the order.
And after that crazy day, that will be, like, the majority of the next podcast.
I was talking about this in August. Like we think that he's going to talk about his experience, but no, he's going to talk about Matt Fondelier telling him, like,
the flight.
It was the wrong plane. You know,
I fully expected you guys. I thought you would have stayed another night, and I pictured all kinds of congressmen just coming up to Adam and saying, "Look, we're going to go have dinner. I need to pick your brain."
Yeah.
Stuff like that, but that didn't happen.
No. I mean, it was pretty apparent that Adam had to get out of there quick because he had to go to Detroit that night and do a screening of his movie. He was at it, too. And so, we were kind of on the run the whole day. It was a blur. Me and August had a nice airport day because we had to stick around. Our flights were at 5:30 back
so
to L.A.
Jealous.
So, me and August just hung out in the airport and took up a booth
at chili.
At this chili restaurant.
Nice.
But,
I'm going to get some more coffee. Yeah. Be right back.
And his political run's not over. On Saturday, he lands at 5:40 at LAX, and I'm picking him up, and he has to do a panel with Roy Wood in Pasadena at 6:30. And so I don't
– Yeah,
for the non-locals, Pasadena and LAX are –
Not a fun drive.
That's cutting it very, very, very almost impossible.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But, you got to hit up Elon Musk for that underground underground route.
Yeah, but Politicon, the Coachella of political fests is how politics is what they called it, and it seems like it. I'm pretty excited for it. Actually.
You know, I think it is because in D.C. everybody knew what it was.
Really?
Yeah. So I think. It's a pretty big deal.
Knew what was, sorry.
Politicon. We're adding some speaks. I think I'm running on fumes. That guy's still running around everywhere. So, yeah, props to him. But it was one of those things where, like, I felt proud. Like, I told Adam, like, before I got on his flight, hey, man, I just want to let you know I'm really proud of you for what you did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the guy, you know, he can't really take a compliment like that. He's like, oh, thanks. He got kind of awkward about it, shook my hand, and then went on the plane.
Right.
Proud
but I still feel that way. I mean, like, it's a it was an incredible experience just seeing how all of that worked firsthand, and just like how, you know, how many people were involved, how many people were into it, how big the room alone was just massive. And just, yeah, that world is just, it's so different than here.
Crazy.
They're ugly. Hollywood for ugly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, just
Hollywood for ugly people.
I love that line.
Yeah, everybody there is just an eyesore. But yeah, so, and then got home really late last night,
Got a big weekend ahead of
you. The podcast. Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's not over for me. We got, me and Dawson are playing Rock at the Shop tomorrow.
Boom, in El Segundo, where you left your wallet.
Yep, that's right. And go to LoxMusic or CorollaDrinks.com for your tickets. It's only like 10 bucks to get
Get your tickets at the door. And if you pay 20, you get a barbecue dinner.
Sold.
Yeah, sold. There are a couple things. I hate to be Adam, like, but on this flight, God, man, I was on edge. First off, both flights, I hate this move that people do. Whereas when you're on a flight, you're allowed a carry-on that you can put in the overhead, or you got one thing you can put in the overhead that fits in the overhead, and then a carry-on they have to put like under your seat.
Personal item.
That's what they call it. Yeah, carry-on and personal item. And so I bring my duffel bag and my laptop backpack. And I stuff the laptop backpack under the seat. But nobody else does that. Like in both flights, everybody just puts both of their things in the overhead to where there's no room in the overhead for your stuff. Because, you know, Matt Fondelier books me in the very back of this plane. Whereas I'm the last one on.
Ugh.
And
Giving him a middle seat so he handles it.
And,
well, you're the end of it.
And so there's never any room for my bag to fit anywhere. And I look and nobody has things in front of them. And I look inside and there are backpacks and carry-on items in there.
So short-sighted. Because during the flight, then they get out and they have to pull their backpack down. And then
which they do.
Yeah. Extra. Like it's doubling down on fucking your life up.
Yeah. You're at the window seat and you're going to make everybody get up so you can go into your backpack and get your iPad. After, you know, it just, I don't understand why do you do that? Why? Like, they should be.
Well, obviously, they just want that little extra bit of leg room.
It's so selfish.
It is, that's the reasoning.
And, like, that's why people, like, some people had to check in their bags because they were out of room. And, like, there's no way they can really, like, police this.
Yeah.
Unless, like, well, why? So do you think, like, is there a way that we can, it could be a personalized compartment for everybody. Like you just maybe put a divider, a
lockers.
Sticker.
Yeah.
Just like everybody has their own. And if you didn't bring one, then just leave it empty or you can give it away to somebody. But it should be reserved for you.
Right.
And like above you. Cause I had to put my bag in the back to where now when everyone's getting off the plane, I have to sneak my way to the back to get my bag out of the back because everyone's filing out in
order. That's not easy.
No, it's not easy at all because these planes are cramped, as you'll hear Adam Curl talk about. It was Matt. I guess Matt said it was a 757 and it was a 737, and that 20 is a huge difference on planes. And then we're sitting in the plane and the somebody opens up something very aromatic. It was curry. It was straight up Indian food.
Oh, like, my God.
To where the whole plane is just stinking of Indian food. Nick had the joke that it was Mike August. Mike's out there. No, it was not Mike August. But to the point where the flight attendant's eyes were watering, and
did you see the culprit?
I think it's onions. No, I didn't.
Oh.
I mean, she could have been sitting right next to me with how pungent and how powerful this the smell was. But the girl next to me had a huge grapefruit that she was cutting into, which is also aromatic, but a lot more pleasing than the curry. Mm-hmm. So I allowed this. And I'm watching her cut it, and she was cutting it in this really weird way. So I'm just mesmerized by her cutting it. And she catches me just looking at her, and it looked like I was looking at it like I wanted one.
Did she offer you a piece?
Like I wanted a piece, yeah. And I was like, oh, no, I'm good. And I was insanely.
Show me your technique. That's all I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Research. Drool didn't help.
I should have said that.
No, I'm sorry. I'm staring at your boobs.
Yeah, I might as well have said that, too.
Your other melons.
But, yeah. Oh, God.
Grapefruits are not melons.
Oh, sorry.
But it fit the pun. That was on the flight home. On the flight over, though, I had this weird conundrum where I'm trying to I hook up the in-flight movies, because what they do is if you have a iPad or a laptop, you can go into their Wi-Fi, not pay for their Wi-Fi, but they offer the movies to stream on your computer for free. So I hook up my laptop and I see all the movies, and John Wick 2.
I did that on the way to Seattle.
John Wick 2.
I started watching that last night thinking that I'll just get through it. This is going to suck because I didn't like John Wick 1.
Oh!
Same!
What is wrong with you?
But then
your opinion is unflickable.
I'm about an hour into John Wick 2, and all of a sudden I realize, I'm like, okay, this is actually a good movie. I'm going to have to watch this when I'm awake.
Ah.
Dude, the first one is so much better than the second one. The second one was just like, whatever.
I will agree.
Like, it was just...
The
first one was like revolutionary. It was new martial arts. Yeah, that thing was awesome. The
new
second one was just like,
new martial arts.
What are you doing? You're just getting shot all the time.
Maybe and, like, because this often happens. People say, this movie's so great, it's so great, it's so great.
Too hyped.
And then it gets too hyped. And then I went into John Wick 2 thinking, why did I get this on Netflix? Why am I going to waste my time? And then I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I saw La La Land the other night.
I watched
what a
that
pile
on.
Of dog shit.
Aww. Oh, yeah. You need to watch that one when you're awake, Dawson, because that movie is delightful.
Maybe it's just a plane. You're so miserable on a plane, everything's good. Because I watched La La Land on a plane, and I thought it was a magical experience.
yeah, you really got to immerse yourself with the headphones
on. It wasn't a pile of dog shit, but it certainly was not worth all the hype.
Ryan Gosling learned to play the piano. He was really playing that.
Great.
So, yeah, John Wick 2. I'm really excited because I love John Wick 1, as Galen was saying.
Everyone does, except
But I had one problem. I had an 8-year-old kid with his parents sitting to the right of me. And I don't want to, you know, I just thought, would this be insensitive if I just watch like this crazy, gritty action movie next to this little boy who's looking at my screen? So, Lego Batman movie is terrific. It is quite delightful.
I heard that's actually really good.
It was hilarious. I laughed out loud a few times.
I wished I'd watched that on the plane, because that's what Matt watched when we went to Seattle for the bar crawl. He watched Batman. I watched John Wick 2, and I was like, you know what? I should have watched Batman.
Yeah, I think Matt even said that as his plug one time on the water cooler. Yeah, and he said it's like a great parody of a Batman movie. So
yeah, so definitely check out Lego Batman movie is the point.
You can skip John Wick 2.
I caught John Wick 2 on the way home next to that grapefruit lady. Oh, it was a totally that's actually a internet girl lady, the grapefruit lady. Don't Google it.
But you mean like that woman was at like some kind of internet
personality? No, I called her grapefruit lady, but that actually is something. So the grapefruit person sitting next to me.
Why do I sense porn?
It's Galen's keys going.
Grapefruit technique on site.
I'm afraid what this grapefruit lady does.
It's hilarious. It's actually really, really funny, which we'll talk about off air. All right. So before we flick some bean, though. So that was my experience. It was super fun, and I don't fly a lot, which is why I don't have pre-check on TSA. I get a lot of crap from it.
I hear you say I don't fly a lot after you come back from flights. Like you should just suck it
up. Flies all the time.
I think you're right, though, because it really is starting to take a toll on me. But I mean, what is a lot? Like, I probably fly probably 8 times a year. Is that a lot?
More than that.
I fly twice a year.
I mean,
maybe 3.
Do you have pre-check?
No.
Yeah, see, I don't have it.
I feel like, think about how much you save next year, 8 times. I don't know.
Yeah, because
it wasn't that much faster.
It's a lot easier to get weed onto airplanes when you have TSA pre.
You have it?
A lot easier.
Oh, you fly a lot, though, because you go around with a show. See, Gary has it. You have it. I don't, but I might get it now. Because
Dawson, I have to say, without TSA pre-check, it's pretty easy to get weed on a plane. It's just more nerve-wracking.
Well, it's a little less nerve-wracking.
Yeah, Nick is always sweaty on these flights. But all right, whatever. So before we get to flicking the bean, Kalen, here's a TV show you should check out.
Ooh.
Alone on History.
Nice.
It's back for a fourth season, but with a crazy new twist. Rules have changed. 10 survivalists are still dropped into the unforgiving wilderness, but now, it's 5 competing teams.
5.
Brothers, fathers, sons, married couple.
Firefighters,
maybe. A different kind of survival show, that's right. Because besides their teammate, they're truly alone. No camera crews. They film themselves. selfie style, no gimmicks, no forced challenges. Teams are split, equipped with 5 items each. To win, they must find each other and survive on North Vancouver Island the longest. North Vancouver Island? That sounds like hell. I would never. I'd rather sit next to Grapefruit Lady and smell that curry for a year. But, you know, this might be worth it because $500,000 is at stake.
Ooh.
If you win. So definitely tune in. All new episodes Thursdays, 10, 9 central on History. That's Alone Thursdays on History. Kalen.
Yo.
You know.
Flick it.
Yeah. You heard the man.
All right, let's do it. All right, so for this week's Flick and the Bean, I'm going to be reviewing Ozark. This is a brand new show that just hit Netflix, I think, about a week ago. So obviously, I've already watched all of it.
The fans have been, obviously, it is heavily promoted. I see it every time. It's always a top pick for Christopher.
Yeah. It is a 10-episode run. Each episode is about an hour long. The show is about a Chicago-based financial advisor who secretly relocates his family to the Missouri Ozarks when his dealings with a drug cartel go awry.
Drug cartel, I'm in.
Drug cartel.
Ozarks, I'm in.
Kind of like the accountant-y. So the show stars Jason Bateman, who
I'm
I
in.
Fucking love. Yeah. Jason Bateman is just like the greatest fucking guy ever, right? I mean, Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Did you guys see Bad Words? That was like his directorial debut movie. It's fucking hilarious.
Really?
So
I did not expect
funny.
It to be to hear that. All right.
I haven't really heard anything
about it.
It came out years ago.
The Spelling Bee.
The Spelling Bee.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
that
he,
is
like,
good.
He's like super profane, like, you know, R-rated dude who befriends like an 8-year-old Indian kid. And like, anyway, it's a great movie. It's really, really funny.
Underrated Extract. Anybody seen Extract? Mike Judge?
Oh, no. Yeah, but that one.
Really good. Really good.
And then the Dodgeball cameo, of course.
He was an announcer in Dodgeball for 5 minutes.
And so memorable.
And he has the best, like, the most repeated lines from that movie.
So I already, you know, I already love Jason Bateman. But he's not the funny man in this one. This is kind of the first time I've seen him super serious.
Oh.
And he plays the accountant. Who has to relocate his family to this like strange place called the Ozarks, which is like these giant lakes in like Missouri that nobody really knew about, but apparently like there's a lot of real estate there. And then you dive in further, there's a lot more than meets the eye when it comes to this place. Also,
there's a bar in the Ozarks that's called Big Dicks Halfway In.
Good to know. Yeah. Featured on the show, so yeah.
Possibly flickable.
His co-star Laura Linney. Who, if you...
Oh, she's awesome.
She played Jim Carrey's wife in The Truman Show.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That's
gives
right.
You a little idea who that one is.
Was she in Jurassic Park? Is that her?
I don't know. I
think
that's...
Oh, no. I think I might be thinking of somebody else.
Yeah. No, I'm not seeing that on here. So this show, it starts out very strong, I felt. Very strong start. And then a bit of a lull. And then a longer gradual build to the finale. And then I wasn't really sure how I felt about it. But just like the last 10 to 15 minutes.
But you committed.
Yeah, because like I said, it starts out strong and then I'm like, okay, it's kind of a little rudderless, whatever. And then it starts to pick up the pace and then it really starts to go. And then I really started to like it. Then it was like,
Netflix is doing a study right now.
Not sure how I feel about that.
We can lull in episodes 5 through 7, but Kalen will still finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Drip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not many shows I don't finish. So once I get into it, yeah, I gotta go.
Leftovers.
Yeah. Yeah, that one I need to finish. The acting's really great in this. There's a lot of like kid actors in this, and they all do like a really, really great job. I know Matt Fondelier hates, you know, if the child actors are not up to par, then it completely takes him out of the movie. Which
oh,
is
God.
A pretty good criticism.
Yeah.
But,
he goes on for hours.
Yeah. Heroes and a Half
Child. Child actors.
yeah.
The Simpsons room.
They're very good. Don't expect too many like twists, but there's a lot of left turns that come at you. Overall, it's not bad. So I'm going to say that it's flickable. That's 7 out of 10 beans.
I knew it.
Really? Ozark. All right. That did a lot better on the bean scale than I figured.
What I haven't seen The Accountant.
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it at all.
What show is there anything you can kind of similar to?
You know, I guess it's like I get not off the top of my head. The closest thing I would think of is kind of like Breaking Bad, but only in the sense that they're both dealing with It's not, this is not Breaking Bad, but that, I guess, would be the closest thing. You know, this kind of...
So Jason Bateman is Walter Underworld
guy who gets thrown into this, like, super dangerous, you know, mob world.
Cool.
And it does leave a lot open to the future. This isn't just a one-and-done show, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll watch the next season. I'll watch the next one.
When you put on the Netflix... Mm. How long does it take you to pick a show? Because it takes me way too long to where I'm finished with my meal, I'm done with everything, and I still haven't picked anything yet because I can't decide what I'm going to spend the next 2 hours of my life.
I can't dig into my meal until I find something because I'm not doing the eating and the searching at the same time. I want to but sometimes I can't even go, you know, first I start off Netflix, then I got to move on to Hulu, then I move on to HBO. So I'm constantly going back and forth through the three of them to look for something.
I just go back to Always Sunny every time.
That was exactly what I was just going to say. I'll look for a while and then just end up on Always Sunny.
I'm
so
kind of that way, but I always end up back on Futurama. That's like my Always Sunny.
I'm that with Parks and Rec right now because I went through Friends already. whenever we cook at home, like when we cook like with like Blue Apron or something, Jen always says, all right, we're going to start cooking. So a meal will be ready in about an hour and a half. Why don't you go find something on Netflix now, Chris, that like that we can watch while we eat? Because
it'll take an hour and a half.
Yeah, and the food gets cold. And then she's finished with the cooking. You know, I'll help out every once in a while. I don't want you to think I just sit around and not help out. But I do enjoy cooking.
Well, I got a couple shows I want to watch right now, but I'm saving them for when I go to England.
Oh.
When I go to England, then I get super jet lagged. So then I always wake up at like 2 in the morning, and then I can never fall back asleep. So I need a lot of shows to watch while I'm over there. So
you know, you can do if you I don't know if this works. It should work with your computer. If you download the Netflix app, you can download some movies onto it.
Yeah, you can.
So I download. Yeah, I just download things
them before
to my laptop.
You go.
Yeah, and I just have Netflix in the air. No Wi-Fi needed.
Well, I think I'll be covered. I got the shows I'm going to watch
then.
In England.
All right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, the BBC.
Fargo, season 2 and 3, and Preacher. Preacher's a fun show. If you guys haven't watched Preacher on AMC, it's a fun show.
It's
kind of ridiculous, but it's fun. It's fun.
All right.
Check it out.
Is that
it's Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen's show.
Oh, it's
produced,
Seth Rogen's
produced,
show?
Yeah.
Oh.
And Evan Goldberg. Rosenbaum? Is he the...
No, you're thinking that's not it. That's his FX show. I forget what that one was
but
called.
But it's also about a priest.
Yeah. Yeah, this Preacher one is a lot different.
It's like based off a comic book. It's like I said, it's a little ridiculous, but it's fun.
You know, it's not ridiculous. ZipRecruiter.
Mm. Yeah,
That's right. You guys hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Because I do. ZipRecruiter. That's right. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, all of them, and now. You can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. They should make a dating app, right? Just imagine that. Mm. Just finding all the best girls out there. But no.
But no, they stick to the business.
Yeah. They stick to the business, which is what they need to stick to, actually, now that I think about it, because ZipRecruiter is just too good at what they do, and they're not a pimp. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses, and right now, listeners of Resume or The Water Cooler and or on ZipRecruiter, they can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/interview. That's ZipRecruiter.com/interview. One more time. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/interview. Oh, yeah. That is right. Let's see. So, you know what I want to do really quick? Dawson.
Yeah.
There's been a promo going around for Rock at the Shop tomorrow.
There has been.
With Mike Dawson and the Smoking Kills. They got a solid set.
We got a solid hour set. That's just going to blow your pants off.
Like, Dawson threatens me every time we play a show.
We have a nice rivalry going. Chris.
It's a one-way rivalry.
It's a one-way rivalry.
It's actually more of an abuse.
Yeah. It is.
But this is the first time where
my band makes up songs just to sing to Chris from the stage about how we're better than you.
Yeah, that's true. I hate those songs. They haunt my dreams. But this is actually the first time where I'm truly, truly afraid. And do you mind if we just play the song, Dawson?
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted me and said,
a lot of people tweet me too.
Where can we stream this song? and I'm not going to put it up on streaming, but this is the song that's been in the promo. We got the band together on Wednesday night. We play every Wednesday night, and we do it out here at Corolla Studio. Thank you, Adam. And we set up amidst the Lambos in the back, and I tracked everything, you know, individually mic'd up every instrument. This is just a rough mix, but this is that song, and it's called Another Southern California, and we'll listen to it, and then you can come and see it live Saturday night.
I left a small town with a large tax base, headed down south, way past LA till I was close enough to Mexico, as close as I could get. And I know I'm going somewhere, but I ain't been there yet. I drive my pickup truck going down the highway, everything I own in the bed behind me. I'm only going 55, but I don't care, 'cause I know when I get, when I get there.
Voice went out a little bit there.
Just another Southern California, and all the pretty girls start to look the same. California, out there, just another Southern California, and the only difference here is they don't know my name.
Kevin Fosmark on the guitar.
Rips.
Just another Southern California, and all the pretty girls start to look the same. California, just another Southern California, and the only difference here is they don't know my name. They don't know my name, don't care where I come from, but I don't give a shit, you see. I ain't about to tell them, you can call me the breeze. Watch me blow away, go and find myself another sunny Southern CA. Just another Southern California, now the pretty girls start to look the same. California, just another Southern California, and the only difference here is they don't know my name. Yeah, the only thing weird is they don't know my name.
Yes!
Thank you. Dude, yeah, fun, dude.
That was an incredible performance of that song.
Saturday night at South Bay Customs in El Segundo, California.
Yeah, that's the kind of energy you're going to get from Dawson. Like, he, man, that's a rock band.
It is going to be fun, rock, man. Band I'm rock very song. Excited.
Like, damn. Well, yeah, another South California, Mike Dawson, The Smoking Kills, and also, since you're talking about the music, I'll play a Loxy song at the end of the show, too, so you can check out the music that will be played at Rock at the Shop tomorrow in El Segundo.
Continuing the rivalry.
Continuing, and I'll play my song. So I went to the Getty Museum last week, and I go probably once every few years. It's an incredible place. I mean, the architecture is just alone, even without the art and the artifacts and everything, is just such a cool place. Because I had my cousin from the Philippines was in in town, and we were, you know, oh, let's go to the Getty. It's a beautiful place. You should check it out. And I go, and there's all these, like, artifacts, like, from, like, I don't know, the 1600s. This is a dresser in the 1600s. This is, you know, this is a plate they used. And I just thought, what kind of shit are they going to put in museums, like, to represent us?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like what – I'm thinking – like when in hundreds and maybe even thousand years.
iPhone?
Yeah, like I'm like the first. This is the first iPod.
They're gonna like, put a computer in there and they say this was pornography.
Yeah, this was the porn machine before.
Yes, porn box.
The porn box. God. Yeah. So I'm like, what do you guys think? Like, what would be there? Like, or you know, or what kind of paintings? Like, this is a Banksy.
I was just going to say Banksy would probably be on the
like who is that guy now? Yeah, who is that artist? Like they had like Rembrandt, like you know they had a room for Rembrandt. Who's ours? Like who do we got? Do we have one? Is that
ours
era
is Banksy.
Done?
Because
yeah, Banksy is yeah. Banksy the guy? Is Banksy our guy?
Yeah, he's our guy.
I think he's our guy.
Yeah, 100%. He's our guy.
All right. And he wouldn't even be in a museum though, would he? Like that wasn't run by him.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people. I mean, his paintings, museums do buy them, and a couple of them are like in museums. Like people literally cut out the walls of buildings and pay like millions of dollars just to ship it to their museums.
They made
so
a
they
movie
can hang
about
it.
That.
Oh, actually, the gift shop is that the
no,
one?
No,
different
okay.
one. A different
yeah.
one. I think it's called
Saving Banksy.
Saving Banksy, something like that.
But Exit Through the Gift Shop is a fantastic.
That is a great movie.
Fantastic.
Yeah, flickable for sure.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It's flickable. I was just thinking that they wouldn't put my dresser in a museum. Like they wouldn't put any of this stuff. So it was just random stuff like our plates. Like this is an IKEA Malm.
Yeah, they'd have like an IKEA room. I could see that. Yeah. All the IKEA stuff.
Everybody
used to
have
everybody's
these,
living room for 20 years.
Particle
yeah,
board.
They'll have a little Allen wrench. This thing says, this was the tool that built everything.
That fucking little Allen wrench that just gives you a blister because you had to put like a million screws into this dresser. Yeah, man, that's funny. I can't think of anything else. Like, yeah, I guess Banksy's our guy.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I like Banksy, so I'm okay with him.
Who doesn't like
repping
Banksy?
Our era?
Was Rembrandt when he
like,
was
when
painting? Because maybe. There's someone doing it, and his art won't be discovered
the only,
for years.
The only artist I know who was really awesome at the time of his life was like Salvador Dali.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
And I know this is like a different medium, but they could put like a digital copy of another Bachelor podcast in
there. Oh, yeah, that's true. You know, when I wrote down the note museum, I thought – I'm 100% serious. Nick's going to find a way to put the Bachelor into this. Like, I swear. And you didn't disappoint, which I love.
I got a fun story for you guys.
All right.
My mom was in town last week.
That's right.
And my mom and I partied like we were in college. Tons of booze. She brought a ton of music, all the stuff that she grew up on. So we spent 5 days listening to Arlo Guthrie and Joan Baez and Bob Dylan and the band. And it was just fucking awesome. We're just having drinks outside and hanging out. Well, every year when she comes to stay with me, we always go to this restaurant called The Smokehouse. It's in Burbank next to Warner Brothers Studios. It's a killer steakhouse, but it's like was opened in the 1940s. So it's got that full-on old Hollywood vibe. The red velvet booths, the dark lit restaurant,
food
all black
better.
And whites of all movie stars all along the walls. Ooh. So we go out there and we go out for prime rib night. Every Monday night is prime rib night, and prime rib usually $40. It's like $20 that night. So we go sit at the bar, have a couple of Manhattans. And we're just sitting there talking, checking out the bar, and my mom's kind of laughing. She's like, Michael, look at all these people who think they're movie stars. They want to be noticed. And it was true. There was a lot of people just there, like, screaming, look at me, look at me. So, anyway.
Like the way they were dressed?
Just the way they were looking around.
Oh.
The way they were... just the acting way they presented themselves.
Yeah.
Everyone was just screaming... Show me attention. So we're laughing about that. But then a real movie star walks up and goes up to the bar, and it's the dude, I can't think of his name, but in Goodfellas, he was the security. I'm the commandant. That guy who got them into the Lufthansa heist. Okay? That guy walks up, sits at the bar, and my mom's, Michael. I'm like, yeah, I'm a movie star. So anyway.
Yeah, you played it super cool.
I thought at first Jeff Bridges walked in.
The dude, yeah.
No, that would have been cool. So anyway, fast forward to after dinner, and this guy is outside of the restaurant sitting down smoking a cigarette. And I get my truck from the valet, and we get in my truck, and my mom sees him there, and we got to drive right by him. So she's like, Michael, drive slow. I'm going to take some pictures. I'm like, okay, no problem. So we drive really slow past this guy. My mom is about to stealthily take pictures of him. She left her flash on.
Oh, no.
So as we're slowly driving by this guy, my truck is flashing like 9 times while she's taking the picture.
And Mike's truck is like the size of the length of a limo.
Stealth is completely out the window. The guy's looking right at us, but he was totally cool about it. He didn't, you know. I'm sure he's used to people taking pictures of it, but we laughed about that for a long time.
Maybe some of the other people that were in there trying to be famous thought you were taking a picture of them and you made their day.
Yeah. Maybe.
Like, oh, nice. We got our picture taken.
Maybe.
That's just this town, yeah.
There is a scene where what's-his-face plays piano in La La Land.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Right. That's the smokehouse.
Really?
Oh. That's the restaurant.
Bringing it back. Yeah. Callback.
Yeah, I love that. Open with that next time. I'll listen right. to the rest. No, I'm just kidding. No, that, you know, when you talk about like those people in the booths, like think, you know, kind of always have a little bit of attention looking around to see who's looking mm-hmm. at them. I was talking to a friend of the show, Kristen Carney, and she told me that. She's like,
love her.
Like living in LA is always like you're talking to somebody, but they have one eye on you and one eye like to the back of the room seeing who is more important
right,
than you.
Right.
And
right.
it always stuck me because it really spoke to me. I hate that about this town. It's just everybody just trying to network and schmooze.
Everybody screams, look at me,
yeah,
look at me.
And like, exactly. And just find who can help them. And it's weird. But that's LA.
But
it's,
my mom and I,
that's just
sat
another Southern California.
At the bar, we sat in Coward's Corner. Coward's Corner is the place in the bar where there's only like 2 seats. But it's the best seat in the bar because you can see everything. You can, you know, you get the whole view of what's going on.
It's like where Tony Soprano goes to sit down. Just to make sure no one's sneaking up behind
him. I never heard
that.
I like that.
There you go. Well, it's called Coward's Corner because no one can sit next to you.
Yeah.
And,
you're not mingling.
Yeah. And, you know, so anyway. Yeah.
You're like those hot girls in the VIP section at the club. Like, we can't get to them.
But there were the cowards. It's so fun to see them.
Nick Davis.
But anyway, my mom's so much fun, dude. Yeah. We had the greatest time, and she makes the greatest gin and tonic in the world. But we finished a bottle of gin in 3 days.
Nice.
Big bottle.
Oh, man. It looks like you're still hurting.
No. Actually, we handled it very well. Neither one of us was hungover at all.
Oh.
Not once.
I love a good gin and tonic. Yeah. They used to be my drink.
I will still make them for you guys. I'll figure it out and bring the stuff in. Actually, I still have some of the stuff at home, so all we got to get is gin.
Yeah, I love the gin and tonic. It always gets me from A to B quite nicely. Mm-hmm. All right, so before we get out of here, just want to remind everybody, if you go to Amazon, click the banner at chrisloxmana.com, follow Matt and Gary on Twitter, and Kaylin, where can you go for you?
Don't worry about me.
Okay. Nick Davis.
Norm MacDonald Live is back. It's not live. I don't know who does that ever, puts live in their name when it's not actually live. It's crazy. It's back on Tuesday. They were back on this last Tuesday with David Letterman, and I think this upcoming Tuesday is Jerry Seinfeld, just other huge names coming up. And if you like Norm MacDonald's humor, do you like that show?
I'm just kidding. Nick loves Norm MacDonald. I asked you before the show. Quick fight prediction for tomorrow night.
I'm going to say John Jones. Anytime Chael Sonnen said this, and this was kind of my theory as well. Like, the younger fighter is always the guy to bet on, especially when it's a rematch and the younger fighter won the first one. Like,
I like that.
The older guy's not getting any younger, clearly. And so, yeah, I'm gonna go John Jones. Probably a decision. He seems to like really play it safe now. But yeah, and then I got Don Cerrone, or I got Robbie Lauder over Don Cerrone, Demi Maia over Tyrone Woodley.
Are you parlay! Placing bets? Huh? Are you placing bets?
I put one four way parlay on Jones, Maia, Knight, and Lawler.
Got him. You heard it
here first. Pays 9-1.
I like those odds. 9-1's nice. All right. Dawson, where could go for you?
Got to tell you about Rad Power Bikes, dude.
I know you've been riding yours.
I am riding this thing nonstop.
It's a part of you now.
It is. It's really.
He's on it right now.
He's
circling
the block.
In my backyard. It's locked up in my backyard, right outside of one of my windows. So every day, you know, I get up and I can just see it out the window, and it's like a siren screaming to me, "Come and ride me." And yesterday, I took it out on a 10-mile bike ride around Burbank, just fucking. Went all over suburban Burbank, just riding around, having the greatest time. And suburban. You actually do get exercise because, you know, it's. I imagine you get about as much exercise as taking a brisk walk.
Yeah.
But you hit those pedals, and as soon as you start pedaling, it just kicks itself into gear, and it's got levels of setting. You know.
I can see you're. You're growing your hair out, and I now know why. You want those locks flowing
in the
wind.
That's exactly why. That's
I don't wait. I do the same thing.
Nick took a little tumble on his Rad Power Bike.
I did. A little huge tumble.
You got some road rash there.
I was going straight 20. Like I'm lucky that's all I got was this little raspberry in my hand.
I do feel really bad that he told us all in the back, and everybody's first question was, is the bike okay? Yeah. and I caught us saying that, and I felt terrible.
No, I mean, I was like fine. I was just like, holy shit. But yeah, I pop right back up. There's a lady that saw me crash, and it was like one of those things where I'm like more embarrassed than her. Right. And I just got on and took
like,
off.
I'm good.
It takes me, believe it or not, it takes me 8 minutes to drive here. It takes me 8 minutes to ride my bike here.
Yeah, because you can like skip through those lights, maybe go up on the sidewalk.
I take side roads, back alley, roads the whole way, dude. Mm-hmm. And I got this nice route mapped out that I take it through horse country here in Burbank.
Yeah.
And I go down this one alley that's got all kinds of jumps and bumps and shit and horses. it's the funnest thing in the world. Go to radpowerbikes.com. I swear to Christ, you are going to love it. Yeah. And you will have more fun riding a bike than you've ever had in your life.
And you're green.
And I could get behind that. So Rad Power Bikes. For me, just come to Rock at the Shop. Let's play some music. Let's eat some barbecue. Let's have some fun.
Come out. We're going to have fun.
Also, if you made it this far into the podcast, I put it out there, water cooler, fellow Bobo boys. What do you think would be in our museum? Tweet us pictures. Tweet us ideas of what would go into the museum of today for everyone 1,000 years later.
And I think a Razor flip phone will go in there.
Oh,
it might.
Yeah.
But do it in the last like 20 years, this millennium, like what would go in, and use the hashtag turtle fart. All right, and that is it. Once again, this has been Water Cooler, episode number 83/69+14.
Love you.
We love you. We'll see you next week.
goodbye kiss for me. Your body to be free. Go follow your woman through the zephyr, yeah. Just give my mama a goodbye kiss for me.